Why, hello, Caleb.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. And for everybody else joining us, welcome to Nate's Look at Life, a perspective on grief, loss, and the adjustments that have been made over the course of the COVID-19 pandemic. Caleb, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm the baddest motherfucker that ever lived. My name is Caleb Davidson. I am also Nate's cousin. Yeah, that's about it. 24. Doing my thing.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Caleb. So glad to have you on and to be able to talk and put this out. And I mean, we've always kind of discussed putting out a podcast and certainly looking forward to having you on and being able to discuss this.
Yeah, of course. I've been looking forward to being on here for a while now.
Certainly. Well, as for just what we are talking about, I'm not sure if you've listened to some of the other episodes that I've put out, but I've just kind of been talking about grief and some of my personal experiences with it, and some of my research that I've done, and kind of putting together kind of a senior communication applied project and all of this. So certainly looking forward to chatting with you about some of the stuff I've come across and being able to hear your experiences and your perspective on this topic and being able to hear just your voice and views on these sort of things. So as just to kind of start off, do you want to give a brief overview on just your experiences with loss and kind of profound grief or some of your background or ties to this?
Let's see. Let me see if I can remember my first experience with grief. I was in fifth grade, and a friend of mine, Brandon, he, his brother, and his grandpa died in a plane accident, a plane crash. They were flying his grandpa's like hobby plane, and they crashed and died. And that was something that always shook me. Like growing up, that was something I've always looked back at that point as like a reflection of how I responded, because I didn't know how to respond then. I didn't know how to feel what I was feeling. I just saw everyone around me crying, and it took me a couple of weeks to actually acknowledge that, oh, he's gone, you know. And yeah, that was my first experience with grief. Later on, my aunt, your mother, died. That was really hard. That was hard for the whole family. Then a few months later, my best friend had died. Her family never released the cause of death or anything. They just said suicide, but I think it might have been an accidental drug overdose. And then I want to say just under a year later, another one of my close friends committed suicide. And he was like a little brother to me. That one hit me really hard, and I didn't handle that one well.
Well, I mean, what does well mean really? Like it's we have these tough things that happen to us and it changes our perspective and our approach to life, and there's really no right way to do it. It's so individualized and it's so personal in terms of those connections that we have with them and what we build from that as well. Just one of the things that I came across in terms of my research is as much as it can be the loss of a specific person, like the loss of a lifestyle or the loss of a even a certain place. Did you feel like you with your experience with traveling and living abroad, did you feel any sense of grief in terms of getting back to just that loss of, a perspective and that loss on, you know, living in the States, did you feel any of that in terms of when you moved or when you kind of changed your life situation there in moving to Nigeria?
So I guess the question you're asking is if I grieve for my past life in a different country.
Yeah,
Okay.
at least from that circumstance, yeah, just during that time.
Let's see. Oh, and for the viewers who don't know, I mean, how could you know? I lived in Lagos, Nigeria for 4 years, and then I moved to boarding school when I was 16. In Arizona. And so anyway, moving back to the States after Nigeria was actually quite relieving for me. But as I have matured and let's see, as I've matured and looked back and reflected on things I've done and in the past, I wish I did things differently in Nigeria. I was still young and naive. I didn't know, you know. I guess from the American perspective, I was still trying to hold on to my life in America and my way of doing things when I moved to Nigeria. And that only brought about conflict in adapting to the new home. And what I wish I would have done now that I'm older is try to adapt to the culture and be more accepting of it and understanding and more of I guess less of an American is a better is a good way of putting it.
Awesome. Well, I love that perspective and just being able to adjust and not be so hard-nosed and being able to recognize just those different cultures and those different conflicts that come about from, you know, just those preconceived notions that we go into certain situations. But in terms of family communication and just that cohesion and change that occurs there, and just a lot of adjustments, but being able to look back and seeing just how we would change those responses is certainly a good practice. And then I guess in terms of just dealing with that grief or being able to cope and somehow, you know, find this new normal, it in terms of both after those losses of your friends and also in moving and everything, what did you find was your like best outlet or what did you usually turn to in terms of being able to find that new adjustment or that new normal?
Well, like I said, I would personally say that I responded poorly. I feel like I was, I mean, let me think of my words.
Take all the time you need.
I would say hold on, repeat the question one more time. I'm sorry.
What would you say is the way you kind of coped with that change or loss, or how what were kind of your outlets in terms of what you went to for
Right.
those difficulties?
I would say the people in my life, at first I had turned to people. I tried getting members of my family to try and talk to me about it. Especially after the death of my best friend at boarding school. I had just moved there. I got really close to someone. We were spending all the time we could together, and all of a sudden they died. And I didn't know how to handle that because moving out of Nigeria and into this place, into the boarding school, this person became like my security in the States because it was a whole different world from where I moved from.
Certainly.
And so after her death, I certainly tried reaching out to family, but you know, they weren't very much very the most they weren't well equipped to handle that. So I turned to smoking weed and became very addicted because I wasn't processing. I was just numbing. And I never really learned to process things better until much later in life. Because even after my friend had died, you know, a little less than a year later, another one of my friends committed suicide. And I think a week and a half later, I was arrested for smoking pot in Idaho and doing various other things. And grief is a very powerful thing. And if you try to ignore it, you're not going to move forward and you're not going to become a better person. You're not going to learn the things you're supposed to learn. Does that make any sense?
Certainly. No, for sure. It's the changing experience, like almost, you know, growing up with what we used to, like, you know, that refiner's fire, or, you know, being able, you aren't able to change until, you know, you're kind of put through the fire a little bit, and being able to have those growth opportunities. And, you know, as painful as it is, and, you know, in terms of just those different crutches that we sometimes can go to just to get through that experience, it's something that's still, you know, able to get us through to those next days and able to, you know, get us through that grief process, which takes time and it takes effort. And one of the things I've come across in just my research, you know, specifically recently, is the impact on prolonged grief disorder, which is a new medical diagnosis for those that have, that aren't able to get over those grief symptoms after 6 months. And I just find that to be such an interesting diagnosis in terms of putting a timeline and putting an expectation on grief and being able to get over that, and just how that, you know, is impacted by, you know, capitalism and this expectation of, you know, be productive and
get it. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. 100%. So just this, you know, expectation and, you know, diagnosis is able to, you know, have people and insurance companies be able to, you know, diagnose this as something where we're able to treat people and, you know, and that's had both a positive and a negative impact in terms of, you know, people's reactions of like, why are we, you know, doing this, or, you know, but also that diagnosis increases awareness and increases, you know, those, you know, amount of people that hear about it because of, you know, the increased amount of passings that we've had over the last 2 years, you know, preventable deaths.
Oh yeah.
It's, you know, just tough to, you know, have those realizations there and be able to navigate that in a way that is healthy, and bringing up those difficult situations and being able to mitigate, you know, the amount of mental health problems and the reactions to it in terms of counseling. And this is, you know, a personal question, but did you find any help in terms of counseling, or have you ever seen a counselor, you know, been able to kind of hash things out with people, or what's been kind of your experience with that?
So when it comes to counseling, I've never really found any luck. Mainly because I can't find a counselor who can identify with my deep nihilistic philosophy.
Yep.
And so it's difficult to get someone to understand that I'm not entirely just depressed. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to like finding help and finding people to talk to during grief, I would say it didn't come from the people I expected it to. Growing up in the Mormon church, I don't know if you've spoken about this at all on the podcast.
Not necessarily, but I would love to bring it up now.
Interesting. Okay. So for those who don't know, the Mormon Church is very much in denial of, like, its followers. Hold on, I don't want to be offensive at all.
Don't worry.
Let's see.
Speak your mind.
Okay. Well, I just don't want to get canceled in 10 years.
It's probably just my teacher listening to this. Don't worry.
Oh, sick. Okay. Let's see. They believe that this is just a brief momentary thing, and we just can't remember what happened before this life, and we can't know what happens after this life. But this guy named Joseph Smith knows, and we all just follow him. But the belief system is that families can be together forever, and that basically after you die, you just get to spend eternity with your family.
Yep.
Now, trying to go to my family and talk about grief, about how, hey, I just lost a friend. All they did was throw scriptures at me and say, yep, well, you didn't actually lose them. You just got to wait for them. You know, they're waiting for you. And it's like, no, that's bottling up the grief and you're not acknowledging it.
Yeah.
You know? And so the people that, oddly enough, online gaming was a really good outlet and good counseling for me, even though it's not a typical counseling outlet. It was a place where I could go and find advice from literal anonymous people, right? I can just explain the situation from as unbiased as I could, and just get advice, you know.
But it's still from your perspective, and it's still like it's still something that matters because it's happening to you. And I think that's something that immediately gets shrugged off when just quoting scripture, when just, you know, providing this certain standpoint where it's not.
Exactly.
This life is all we have. Let's make the most of it, and let's provide the help and support and the, you know, unconditional love, because we're human and we need to, you know, show that. I don't know. It's just it's tough to have that just automatically negated because, oh, it doesn't align with my beliefs, or, oh, you know, this person was bad, or, oh, this person was doing such and such a thing that doesn't align with my beliefs. It's like, so what? Like, I'm dealing with these human emotions, and you're
just telling me not to worry about them.
Exactly. Because, it's dogmatic and just all this sort of stuff where it's, you know, painted off as, okay, just be more worthy, or, you know, do this or do that. It's just,
yeah, no kidding.
It negates the meaning or the purpose of anything, I guess. And I don't know, it's just hard to deal with that and have those feelings of loss and grief overlapping when it comes to that changing belief or that changing lifestyle, and being able to be authentic and true and find your own, you know, individual path, despite, you know, having others that have left before or left too early or any of these other things. We're still human and still needing that support wherever that, you know, whether that comes from gaming friends or, you know, cousins or whatnot, you know, being able to find that and being able to, you know, just have those traditions that help.
Yeah, because those people, even though they were anonymous, they could still support that empathy that I was needing at the time.
Certainly. And sometimes just, even better than the people that know us best, you know, the best. Exactly. Sometimes the best compliments or the best conversations are those that you have just out of the blue or with randos.
Yeah. Because for me, I feel as though I cannot get great advice from the people I know extremely well in my real life, you know, but as opposed to my online life, these people don't know my personality, right? They don't know the situation, but they can just hear the details and be like, yeah, I had a similar situation or whatever. And if they give me shit advice, I can just go to the next game lobby and see if I can find another one until something resonates with me. And I mean, they're not quality counselors at all, but
you know, something's better than nothing. It's better than, yeah, it's better than bottling up, or it's better than not talking about it. Like being able to still have that connection and, you know, outward perspective. It's certainly good. As for just some of that social support, what did you find was the best type of support? One of the, in terms of that, you know, support after grief, I came across four different types where it was either informational in terms of like being able to provide, you know, additional information or you know, resources, instrumental in terms of being able to, you know, help people go through tasks, appraisal, or emotional, in terms of just being able to appraise the situation or like emotional support. What did you find were those best types, or how did you see that?
Well, I would have to say appraisal of the situation. It kind of goes in hand with my nihilistic thought processes. It's a sad thought, but after a while, I would just say, well, this really sucks, but there is nothing I can do to change it. Mm-hmm. And so all I can do is enjoy what I had through remembering what I had. And if I'm just constantly thinking on what I don't have, then that's all I'll ever do.
Yeah, certainly.
And so whenever I'm missing someone or whatever, I just think back on positive memories. Instead of just like, oh, I really miss them. I like to think I enjoyed my time with them.
100%. And that's one of the best, or well, not one of the best, but one of the best ways to go to cope with that grief and to be able to realize this new normal and being able to realize what we were able to take from those relationships or what we were able to take from that lifestyle or that certain place or anything that we've lost, and being able to readjust that into, okay, now this is what I'm dealing with, or this is how it's helped me, or this is, you know, what I'm able to take from that shitty situation, and being able to turn it in some way to something better. So
yeah, definitely. Everything is a lesson if you let it be.
Yep, 100%. Couldn't agree more.
But you have to let it, for sure. Like a lot of people, especially members of our family, they will, they instead of choosing to better themselves, they just find it easier to devote themselves more to the church, to the Mormon religion. And it's, and in those stages of grief, I'm pretty sure denial is one of them.
Yep, certainly.
And I would say that they are in a cycle of denial, and they just reassure themselves to the point where they're just stuck in it.
Yeah, those five stages of grief being denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. And just like, if you never get to that point of anger, which in terms of anger at the church, or you know, anger at you know, that past life or any of that sort of thing, it's difficult getting through those stages. And it's not like I read an article where it was, you know, saying we really shouldn't be using that stages of grief because, you know, It's not a path. It's more of a constant looping circle that kind of finally gets to acceptance at some point. Or you know.
Yes, that is for sure. Acceptance is the last step of going back and forth between the first four.
Yeah, and even getting to acceptance and then diving, you know, right back into that anger sometimes, or you know, it's there's no right way to do grief in any way, but being able to, you know, take those as it comes and being able to, you know, learn from it and help others along the way. It's kind of just being able to have those conversations and being able to get to that point where it's, you know, getting to that new normal and being able to have that acceptance for other people's journey and their story that they tell. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining me, Caleb. It's been just an absolute pleasure talking to you and being able to hash this out and being able to just hear your story and perspective. And so glad to chat with you, and certainly looking forward to, you know, more video game lobbies and being able to hash out this together. And sure love you. And thanks again for being on.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed this quite a lot. It was good to hash some things out and get some perspectives.
Certainly. We'll certainly do more and on better topics too, but certainly glad to have had your perspective on things. Thanks again for joining.
Mm-hmm. You have a good one.
You too. Thank you so much.